G'day everyone, this is B. Jamine, aka The Terrible Australian, and welcome back to the 6th episode of my 2018 MIFF audio reviews. And for this episode, I will be reviewing the films Tower, A Bright Day, Los Silencios, American Animals, and the Bill Murray stories, Lessons Learned from a Mythical Man. So let's get right to it. First up, of course, is the Polish horror film Tower, A Bright Day. And the plot summary for this film, which once again I am reading from the MIFF program guide, is as follows. In the glorious Polish summer, Mula is preparing for her daughter's first communion. But the arrival of Mula's long-lost sister, Kaja, sends the entire family into a tailspin. Has Kaja returned the claim Mula's daughter as her own? Or does she hide an even more sinister motive? As strange supernatural events sweep the community, Mula becomes increasingly suspicious of Kaja's true nature. Now, like a lot of films in that are on my viewing list for MIFF this year, I had actually had never heard of Tower, A Bright Day prior to reading about it in the MIFF program guide. But when I discovered it, it was in the night shift section, which is usually the section where all the horror films, thrillers, sci-fi, and cult films usually play. And since that is my favorite section, I delved in, sort of the read up on it a little bit more. And when I sort of read the sort of the synopsis, and it sounded very intriguing, but what made me sort of even more intrigued to check it out was the sort of what critics were kind of, which filmmaker this film reminded of to a lot of critics. And a lot of them did say that it had a sort of, the film itself had a very Yorgos Lanthimos feel to it. And since Yorgos Lanthimos is one of my favorite working directors today, and I love a lot of his work, I was like, okay, I'll definitely intrigued to check this out. And I was kind of mulling on it for a while because I wanted to see what else was there in the program before I decided whether I wanted to watch it or not. But then I thought, after a while, I figured, you know what, I'll check it out and see what it's like. But the interesting thing is, though, I didn't go to the first screening that this film had. I only went to the second one because the first one was colliding with another film I was seeing that night. So once that film played, I thought I'll read up what the reactions to the film were. And from what I gathered from the reactions, it was very, very divisive. And apparently a lot more people disliked the film than they loved it. And apparently from what I heard from people who were at the first screening, someone at the end of it got really angry with the film and actually literally threw a bottle of water at the screen due to how pissed off they were with the film. So whenever I hear a kind of a very insane reaction like that to a film at MIFF, I'm kind of in two minds. Number one, that makes me even more intrigued to see the film. But at the same time, it makes me even more cautious about what I'm about to get myself into. So when I sat down and watched The Tower, A Bright Day, I didn't know what to expect other than what I read of its synopsis. Like, what was it about this film that had such a very mixed to negative reaction to it? And after I finished watching it, I can definitely understand completely why that guy threw the bottle of water at the screen. I'm just not going to mince words. I really bloody hated this film. And I can definitely see why a lot of people dug it. But to me, I just found this such a completely dull and frustrating experience from beginning to end. And the main problem is, like, it has a really good setup with its story. And I will admit there were a lot of very eerie and unsettling moments sprinkled throughout the film. But the main problem I have with this film is that it's way too ambiguous for its own good. Like, throughout the whole thing, you're not sure, like, what's going on. Are some of the events happening in the film supernatural, or is it just all in the sort of the main character's head, or is it something else entirely, or is it nothing happening at all, and it's just kind of looks like it's supernatural? Like, there's all that stuff was going through my mind as I'm watching the film, and the film just sort of builds and builds and builds as it goes along. And I'm sort of sitting there hoping, like, I'm not really digging where this film is going, but I'm really hoping that the payoff works. Unfortunately, all that build-up just amounted to nothing in the end. And like I said, it has the atmosphere, it has some of the very eerie moments, but whatever this film was trying to say with its plot, or what it wanted to say, I honestly have still have no idea, like almost a week after watching this film, like, what the hell this movie is even about, other than the setup with the, that sets the story, that sets up the plot in the end. But if you ask me what happens in the last half of this movie, I would not be able to tell you. And a lot of times, I don't mind films when they do that. Like, I like a film that is ambiguous. But at the same time, if you're going to have a film that's going to be very ambiguous, you got to at least give us a little nugget of something, like a little hint or an idea or what that kind of, where you're going with that ending. And then with that little sort of source of information, we as an audience can determine our own thoughts and opinions on the film and interpret what's going on. Unfortunately, though, the film just doesn't provide that for us as an audience. Like, and it, to me, it just makes it a more of a frustrating experience overall. And another thing I really hated about this film, and I don't know whether it's just because of the copy of the film that we got that was playing at MIFF, but I felt like there was a lot going on in the plot, but we weren't being fed information from it through the subtitles alone. Because how the subtitles were written, it seemed like there'd be scenes where characters are speaking a lot, but once the subtitle kind of appeared of the dialogue they were speaking, it just was very short sentences. And I don't know whether it was like, because the characters were like talking so quickly and they just sort of put what the Polish dialogue, they interpreted what the dialogue was with the subtitles in just more sort of a simplified way. But I couldn't help but feel like that there was so much that the characters in the film were talking about, and I believe that what the characters were saying to each other was probably very important to the story and important to what's going on. But the subtitles themselves did not convey that at all, and it just sort of very simplified what was going on. Because you'd be hearing, like I said, you see characters speaking like full monologues and stuff, and then the subtitles themselves will only just be like two or three lines or something, and you think, nah, something just does not add up here. So that way it was very frustrating, and also it was just dull. It was very flatly directed. I didn't care about any of the characters at all, and I just couldn't get on board. It was just, again, another film where a family gets together, you know, there's so much kind of hostility going on between all of them, and it just, and that's not really fun to watch. Unless you make the characters themselves engaging, you can make that hostility work, but from beginning to end, I just did not care what happened to these characters at all. And I was pretty much just like waiting for this film, this bloody end already. So yeah, Tower of Bright Day, I really hated this film. I can definitely understand why some people might like it because of it's very ambiguous. But for me personally, it's a film, like I said before, just builds up so much and just doesn't give us anything in the end. Or if it's not going to give us anything to end, give us a little bit of something so that we as an audience can interpret what is going on. And that way we can still be thinking about this film long after we watch it. But instead, I just wanted to forget about this film as soon as it was over. So yeah, Tower of Bright Day, it was like without the very first worst film I saw at MIFF this year. And if you keep listening to these future, more of these upcoming audio reviews, it definitely wasn't the last, and I'll explain why in future episodes. So yeah, if I had to give Tower a Bright Day a rating, I give it 1 star. I really hated the film that much. Now moving on to the next film, which is Los Silencios, and the plot summary for this film is as follows. Under the cover of darkness, Amparo and her two young children row across the river, endeavoring to leave Colombia's civil war and their own personal tragedy behind. But something more than a new life awaits on the island that marks as their first step towards a fresh start. With Brazilian writer and director Beatriz Segna, I probably butchered her name, so forgive me, stranding her characters in a realm where the living and the dead collide. Like A Tower, A Bright Day, I wasn't aware of Los Silencios, which is translated as The Silences into English, prior to reading about in Myth. But I will admit, though, I first became at least aware of the title back when the film played, I believe, at the Cannes Film Festival, because that's where the film premiered. And I remember one of my friends on Twitter who was attending, he absolutely loved the film and he gave it 5 stars. So whenever he gives out a big high rating like that for a film, it definitely makes me intrigued to check it out in the future. And so when I found that this film was playing MIFF this year, it was definitely on the list to watch for sure. I have to admit, though, when I sat down and watched it, I was slightly a little confused at first, mainly because I forgot to read what the plot to the film was prior to the film, and I felt like I kind of was... So at first, like, even though I kind of got very quickly what it was about, there were aspects about the plot I was a little confused by, but that was me not reading up more about the film prior to viewing it. But once I sort of got into the groove of it, then it was sort of got a lot more clear after that. And Los Silencios was a big surprise for me. It was a film that I wasn't sure what to expect, but it definitely has been one that has lingered with me since I watched it. It's a beautifully made film, and it's a film that has a lot to say, especially with the sort of Colombian Civil War and also the refugee crisis. And there's so much like themes that this film tackles, and the director, Beatriz Signer, does a really great job sort of delving into those themes in a way that's really interesting and just an immersive as a story. And from beginning to end, I was really caught up into the lives of these characters and what they were going through and sort of the hardships that they face, like now that they're in being refugees in this new community. And as the film kind of went along, it got even more and more interesting with its plot. And I have to admit, when I went to the third act, there's something that happens at the beginning of the third act, which it took me a while to kind of fully grasp, not like throughout the whole movie, but there's this sort of third act turn that when it happened, I actually had a feeling before it actually happened, just based on the information that I was getting from the film, I have a feeling that this film's going to go in this direction. And when it did, I was like, I kind of saw that coming. But it's kind of a plot turn that has been used before, it's a plot turn that actually works within the context of the story. And since there's still like another, like 20, 30 minutes of the film to go, the film delves into this plot turn really well. And it actually makes the film an even more haunting and emotional experience because of that. Because it's a film that sort of has... I kind of really don't want to say too much about it because it's one of those things where it's probably best not to go in... Other than knowing the sort of the basics of the plot, not to go in into too much what the rest of the film is, because there is a lot of aspects in it that I did find surprising. Even if I did find the third act turn... But once I sort of picked up on what those aspects and that third act turn came, I wasn't surprised, but I was kind of like, all right, I'll go with this film and see where it goes. And like I said, it just sort of went into a direction that just made me even more emotionally involved with the story. And I'm not going to lie, I was very touched by the ending. And that's what makes the film such a unique film overall in that regard, in terms of like how it sort of approaches this aspect of the story. And then when after I left the theater, I sort of was thinking back on the film that I saw and sort of trying to piece a lot of stuff together. And this is a film I honestly believe that is going to be even more of an interesting film on a second watch. And I really do hope that the film does get picked up for a cinema release or DVD release here in Australia, because I really do want to check it out again, because I honestly feel like now that I know what happens in the film, I feel like a second viewing is going to enhance it even more so. But overall, Los Silencios is one of the big surprises of MIFF for me. I really like this film a lot. And I honestly think that it's going to, one of those films, it's a film that's going to definitely linger with you long after you watch it, and you're going to be thinking about it a lot. I know I have since I've seen it, and I can't wait to check it out again at some point. So if I had to give Los Silencioses, a rating, I give it 4 out of 5. I really like this one a lot, and I definitely say it's worth checking out for sure. Now, moving on to the next film, which is the fact-based crime drama American Animals. And the plot summary for this film is as follows. It's the heady days of 2004, and best friends Spencer and Warren dream of outgrowing their middle-class existence when they spy a couple of ultra-rare first-edition books in the university library. They realize it could be their ticket to fortune. Recruiting their friends to the heist, the boys become convinced they will pull off the most daring art theft in modern history. I first became aware of American Animals when I believe the film played at the Sundance Film Festival earlier in the year, and it just got massive raves from everyone who saw it. And I thought, okay, I'll check this out. And then when I sort of read like the all-star cast of young talent that they got for it, they got Barry Keoghan, who's probably best known for his roles in The Killing of a Sacred Deer and Dunkirk, and also Evan Peters from the TV series American Horror Story and the X-Men films, and many others, I was even more intrigued to check it out. Oh, and Blake Jenner from Everybody Wants Some, and a few other films as well. So I was very intrigued, but what made me even more excited to see this film was who was directing it, and that it was written and directed by Bart Layton. And now, if you don't know who he is, he was the director behind the terrific 2012 documentary, The Imposter. And like when I found out this was like his very first narrative film, I was like, yes, I need to check this out. And since I love films that are based on true stories, and the plot to this sounded really intriguing, I knew this was right up my alley. And after watching it, it definitely succeeded. It definitely lived up to my expectations of what I expected. I thought it was a really great film. I love a good heist film. Like, I will admit that American Animals is not the most original heist film, you know, plot-wise. But what Bart Layton does to the story is really intriguing, because he takes a sort of a mockumentary approach to both the story and also the structure of it. Like, for example, like all the since the film is based on a true story, all the sort of the real life figures in the film actually are interviewed throughout the film. Like, the actual people who were involved with the heist are interviewed quite a few times throughout the whole film. And so we cut from them to these sort of elaborate recreations of what happened in the lead up to this heist with these great young actors like Barry Keoghan and Evan Peters and all the others. And so in a lot of ways, Bart Layton's kind of using a very similar approach to what he did with The Imposter. Well, The Imposter is a full-on documentary, but that film was a film where it had a mixture of, you know, talking heads, archival footage and photos, but also these reenactments. So this is a film that uses that kind of approach, but using it for a narrative film. And what I really liked about the film overall, when it uses that technique, is that it does really interesting and clever ways of approaching it. For example, you'll have a scene or two where the actual real-life person who was involved with this heist actually interacts with the young cast in that scene. And also, it's a film that also delves into, like, recollections. Like, even characters, like, the actual characters within the film itself, or the real life figures being interviewed, like, a film goes back and forth showing their points of view sort of stuff, like even their recollections. Like, one character will say, oh yeah, we were talking about this thing at a party. But the other character, then we go to the other real life figure. So, oh yeah, we did have that talk, but it wasn't at a party. It was in a car. And the film goes back and forth in that. So you'll see the two characters talking at a party and still having that same conversation in a car, going back and forth. And it was really interesting how the film did that. And it makes it very fresh when compared to other heist films in the way on how it's structured as a film. And using these very meta, almost breaking the fourth wall techniques to convey its story. And that to me was what made it really fun. The third act itself, it definitely dials that stuff back to kind of focus entirely on the heist. And I guess in a way that kind of was the least interesting part of the film. Not to say that whole section wasn't compelling and riveting, but it's just in terms of like what we saw before with all the sort of experimental stuff with the structure. This one was played more straightforward. But overall, I found that a really fascinating story about like recollections and like how sort of different people sort of viewed how this whole heist went down, and sort of making you question whether characters are saying what they're saying is true or is it false. And that was just hugely interesting for me as a viewer. And also also the young cast who play the real life figures in the film are just great. Everyone does a great job with their roles. And I just found it such an entertaining, gripping and riveting film from beginning to end. And to me, it's definitely one of the stronger and more interesting heist films that I've seen in a while, because it just takes even if the story itself isn't that entirely new, it makes up for it by sort of bringing a whole new different approach, which I thought director Bart Layton did a great job with. So if I had to give American Animals a rating, it's definitely 4.5 out of 5. I thought it was fantastic. Now, moving on to the fourth and final film for this episode, which is the documentary, The Bill Murray Stories, Life Lessons Learned from a Mythical Man. And the plot summary is as follows. You've probably heard the stories. The famously private star is spotted doing dishes at a house party or serving drinks at a local bar, as if hunting Bigfoot. Director Tommy Avalon, follows the trail of Murray's alleged appearances from Los Angeles, where Murray served ice creams from a street stall, to Austin, where he played tambourine at a house party gig. The stories often finish with Murray slyly saying, "No one will ever believe you," but like Fox Mulder, Tommy Avalon wants to believe. Now, I love Bill Murray. I think everyone I know is a huge Bill Murray fan. I don't even know anyone who doesn't like him. But I love him as an actor, I love him as a comedian, but at the same time, I just love him even more as a person, because to me, as a person, he's such a fascinating individual, because you never know, because he's very unpredictable. Like, you hear so many different stories about him, but at the same time, though, it's like, what is going on inside this man's mind? Like, how does he tick? Why does he do what he does? And to me, in that regard, it just makes him an interesting individual. And I've been hearing a lot of these kind of like sort of these random appearances over the years, like him just showing up at house parties or bars, just randomly just inserting himself into these places, and also just not making a huge deal out of it. Like, he's a guy who, like, when you see that, you think, oh man, it's a celebrity. Like, he's going to be like a bit of a show off, you know, like, I'm Bill Murray, I'm a major celebrity, blah, blah. But he's just, when he goes to these places, he just comes across as just a normal, regular guy. And at the end of the day, that's who Bill Murray is. And the fact that he just does all this stuff just willy-nilly with these random people was a lot of fun. And I really liked how director Tommy Avalon, while on this search, you know, to find out why Bill Murray does all these random appearances throughout the world. Like, and you kind of sort of, when he talks to all the people who have come in contact with Bill in these situations, you sort of realize that there's something very positive about these people. All these people have had extremely positive experience with Bill Murray, and the fact that they've all gotten something out of it, whether it's if they're at a certain point in their lives and they're a bit down and stuff, and all of a sudden Bill Murray comes song and sort of lifts their spirits up, and even giving out life advice as well, and sort of making people just feel good about themselves. And to me, that's kind of an what's surprisingly inspiring about the film, is like going around and, like, in a lot of ways, Bill Murray is just the definition of someone who wants to go around and make people's lives better in some way, whether it's just hanging out with them, or just, you know, having fun, or just doing this and that and just doing stuff for people. It's very inspiring, and it just makes us want to be better people and bring lots of positivity in both ours and other people's lives. And I like the fact that director Tommy Avalon goes into that, but also tries to find out why Murray himself does this. And you get a lot of hints why that is. And you kind of realize that even he's been doing this throughout his whole career. Like a lot of the film projects that he picks are films or that have that kind of sort of that sort of life lesson to him, that about something, that's something positive. So in that, but also, but at the same time though, it is a really, like, it's a very short documentary. It's only about 70 minutes long, but it's a movie that doesn't waste any of its time. It's the perfect length for a documentary like this, and it's good that it doesn't overextend itself too much, because I just found it overall a really entertaining and really hilarious documentary that I just had a lot of fun with from beginning to end. And it's definitely a must-see for anyone who's a Bill Murray fan. So if you manage to, once this film sort of becomes available, whether it's in theaters or on demand or streaming somewhere, definitely check it out. I think you'll have a great time watching it. And to me, it's just a hugely fun documentary. And out of all the documentaries I've seen so far at MIFF this year, this is definitely one of the most entertaining ones that I've seen. And I just had a really good time with this one. But I will say this though. Once the film finishes, stay until the very end. That's all I'm going to say. Also, I'm not going to say whether Murray himself actually appears in the documentary or not, so I'm just going to leave that as ambiguous, but you'll just have to watch the film to find out for sure. But at the same time, though, definitely stick around for the end credits, because there is an extra scene after the credits are finished. I didn't realize that until just as I was about to leave, but luckily I stuck around to watch this final scene. So definitely check out the Bill Murray stories. It's a fun little documentary that's worth checking out, especially if you're a Bill Murray fan. So if I had to give this film a rating, I give it 4 out of 5. I really enjoyed this one a lot. Well, that's it. That's the end of this 6th episode of my 2018 MIFF audio reviews. I hope you guys all enjoyed it, and keep a lookout very soon for episode 7, in which I'll be reviewing the films You Shall Not Sleep, The Man Who Killed Don Quixote, Birds of Passage, and Arctic. So keep a lookout for that, and I'll see you guys then. See you, everyone.